Hey, y'all, this is Sam.
And this is Steven.
And this is Crimeology. This is episode 136. Happy New Year. Happy Gypsy Rose Blanchard got out of jail day. Happy all of the things. It's a celebratory time. I guess let's just get started into this episode. So Steven can do his little make fun of Sam thing. This is episode 136, Virginia Tech Shooting. So obviously, this week's state is Virginia.
All right, here we go. It's got an interesting little seal in the center of the flag. What's the primary color of the flag?
Red.
One more guess.
Blue.
Yes. When was it admitted to the Union? What state number was it, essentially, is what I'm asking.
20, 30.
You're going the wrong way.
15.
Keep going.
12.
Keep going.
9.
10.
Dang.
Okay. What's the capital of Virginia?
I don't know.
There's a pretty pop. It's, I don't know if it's popular, but it like came out of nowhere, and it was some type of men north of this town.
Some type of men.
I can't tell you that because that'll give it away.
I don't know my men, apparently.
Okay. The capital is Richmond.
Oh.
The song was Richmond, North of Richmond.
Yeah, no.
Never listened to that song, but let's see, one more fun thing for you. Maybe Virginia doesn't have much going on for them. Oh, well, here, since we're talking about Virginia Tech, we'll just go ahead and do this one. What's the mascot of Virginia Tech?
A pig is the first thing that came to my head.
Nope. It's the Hokies.
I never get it.
They have one of the best in football walkout.
So sorry.
Entrances. Okay. All right.
So sorry, Virginia
Enough of
Tech.
Me talking. Go ahead, Sam.
Another case that we've covered that is apparently the most searched case in Virginia is Casey Anthony. So shout out to that episode too.
Interesting.
We're just plugging all of the episodes in. So let's go started. April 16th, 2007, around 7:15 a.m., police get a 911 call from a dorm building on Virginia Tech's campus saying a shooting just happened and two people are dead. When police arrive, they discover a dead female freshman and a male RA. Police have no idea who the person they're looking for is. They have no witnesses, but the first person they really look at is the female's boyfriend. They're thinking this might have been a domestic abuse case. After these shootings, and because officials believe that this might have been a domestic abuse-related crime, and they felt like their shooter had fled the area, so the university didn't take any other security measures. They did send an email to students letting them know about the shooting that morning, but classes went on as normal. Now around 9:40 a.m., the shooter walks into a classroom building. He has a 9mm handgun, a 22 caliber handgun, and about 400 rounds of ammo. He enters into the building, and as he makes his way further into the building, he is locking and chaining several main doors. After he chains all of these doors, he moves classroom to classroom, just shooting inside. Around 10 a.m., police enter the classroom building, which is what caused the shooter to shoot himself. After a 10-minute rampage, he dies from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. 22 students were killed and 5 faculty members were killed in the shooting. When police get to the shooter, they identify him as 23-year-old senior Sang-Hoo Cho. Cho was born in South Korea and moved to America with his family in 1992. He was described as a loner, having rarely talked to anybody. When officials look more into his life, they discover that he had been struggling with mental health for a while. He had written some very dark and violent writing assignments for different classes that raised alarm among professors and students before the shooting happened. In November of 2005, he received his first of several consultations with the university's counseling center. The university's counselors noticed that he had that he was troubled, but they didn't think that there was any homicidal thoughts from him. The following month, he was held, at a psychiatric hospital after his roommate felt like he was suicidal. While he was at the hospital, he was diagnosed with a mood disorder. After he was released, the court found him to be a danger to himself, and he was ordered to undergo outpatient treatment. After all of this happened in 2005, there is no evidence that he was involved in any kind of mental health services from outside sources from within that university. There was no sign that he was getting any help, treatment, or anything like that. 2 days after the shooting, NBC News reports that they received a package from Chow himself. The package was time-stamped, showing that he sent the package between his shootings at the dorm building and between the classroom building. In the package was a manifesto, pictures of him holding different guns, and a DVD with several videos that he made himself. We have a copy of his manifesto that we will post the link to if you want to look at it. If that's your bread and butter, you can go and read. In this, he calls people at his school sadistic snobs. He calls them Christian Nazis, descendants of Satan, and lovers of terrorism. One part he says, quote, "You had 100 billion chances and ways to have avoided today, but you decided to spill my blood. You forced me into a corner and gave me only one option. The decision was yours. Now you have my blood on your hands that will never wash off, you apostles of sin." So this pretty much is how it goes. He says he will die, quote, "like Jesus did, to inspire generations of the weak and defenseless people." He also says he was like Moses, where he will, quote, "spread the sea and lead my people, the weak, the defenseless, and the innocent children to eternal freedom." So it had a religious element to him, to it, and it's also kind of just rambling and doesn't really have a set reason why he decided to do the things that he did. He repeats phrases throughout the letter because I'm one of those peoples that I did read the manifesto, so I'm not judging you if that's something that you want to go do. But he repeated phrases like, "they raped my soul, they vandalized my heart," and saying, "you effed the life out of me." So like, these are things that he's, which are just like, okay. And so it was so rambling,
right,
that he would be like, "I'm Moses and I'm going to lead my people to freedom because you raped my soul." And you're like, oh, okay. And then like, it was just so very rambling.
Yeah.
So in the weeks following the shootings, the state governor signed an executive order that closed a loophole which allowed people who were declared mentally ill to still purchase guns. Settlements were made to the families of the victims who were killed this day, and another settlement was made for the people that were injured that day as well. Then on April 16th, 2011, Virginia Tech was fined by the U.S. Department of Education for failing to issue a campus-wide warning after the first killing happened. All the university sent out the day of the shootings was an email after the first two bodies were found, but they still have classes like normal. But it was too late because the next email that was sent out was a stay-in-place email after the second shootings had already started. Classes were later canceled the following 2 days and counseling was provided for students. But like I said, at this point, it was too late. Everything had already happened.
Right.
So that's the Virginia Tech shooting. Well, I don't know why, for some reason in my head, I hate doing shootings, and maybe it's because it's got this political element to it also, but this was one of those states that for some reason it was either Casey Anthony or the shooting. And so I was like, well, I guess this is what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, and you think about it too. I mean, you've also got, I believe it was actually Virginia had one. I can't remember. It was, I think, early part of like 2023 or I can't remember. But then you also had like I want to say Kent State had one. So I mean, like, it's not, I'm going to be careful with the way I say this, but
unfortunately, right,
the best way I can say this is, like, it's not like a super uncommon thing,
right.
You know, that's, you know, this is kind of the first one. You know, obviously Kent State happened a long time ago, but like for me, like, this is kind of the first ones that I remember, or, you know, kind of just even hearing about. But yeah, it's I don't know, like you said, it's kind of hard to, like, I don't want to say take a stance on these things, but like, there was a lot of stuff that happened after, after the incident. Like, I didn't even realize this, but, like, they said that he used eBay to buy some of his, like, ammunition or something like that. And I'm like, that's... And then, of course, after that happened, they removed that feature. I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing on eBay that you could... that you could originally buy that. So, but,
and so I think it was also, like, putting the political things aside, it's the fact that he was struggling with his mental health enough to, like, I mean, he sought help, like, he went to counselors himself until ultimately it was something that was pushed upon him. But, like, he knew he had a problem and he knew that he was thinking these things or whatever. And so he reached out, and then it was, well, you're just special. You write those crazy violent things because you're special. Like, you know, or you're just, you're different. And so it was a lot more of just the signs were there and he was actually reaching out for help and then just not getting it, or not getting it to the extent that he felt he needed. And so, but then, yeah, like, it's also then... he's able to go buy a gun and he's able to get all of this stuff on the internet. And you're just like, okay. But there were a lot of little changes like that, that then happened after this case, like you said.
Well, it's also like, if you look at the, basically there's a picture that I'm looking at that, like, it shows, like, the different places that he went from, basically, was it Norris the first one that he was at?
I think so.
Norris to the post office, and then to the other two places. Like, that's a pretty good walk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a solid probably mile and a half. So, I mean, that was, he definitely covered a lot of distance, and I mean, I don't think that's something me or you could do. Walk that far that fast.
So, yeah.
I don't know. I might be able to.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
So, yeah. That's episode 136. There you go, Virginia. I like I said, I don't think I've mentioned this since we started the season. How I picked each state to do was on the website. It used to be Anchor. Now it's, I think it's called Podcast for Spotify. On the website, it gives us numbers and it gives us like a deep dive into the numbers. And so one of the things that it does is it says, like, here are the top states that you're listened to in the US. And so that's how I was choosing, because I didn't want to go in alphabetical order because that's boring. So anyways, Virginia was one of those that was one of the top states. And I was like, okay, Virginia. Not that I just never figured Virginia would be up there. So thanks, Virginia, for being one of our top listeners. So yeah, episode 136. Make sure to do all of the things. We've got Facebook and Instagram. Both are at Crimology Pod. Like I said, that manifesto link will be posted and it's all there. If you're a freak like me and you want to go read that, make sure to rate, review, 5 stars, share, do all of those things. And go say hi to Gypsy Rose Blanchard, who is not in prison. And then go listen to our episode
that we did however long ago that was.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you guys so much. Happy New Year. This is Sam.
This is Steven.
And this is Crimology.